Good to see all of you. See, that's interesting because I was wanting just one clap to do the thing, but hey, the many claps, that's great. It's good. So I'm Kevin, a community life pastor. So good to see all of you here this morning. Now, I got a confession. I love the fair. And I mean, I love the fair. Any fair. I like the local fair. I like the big fairs. I like the small fairs. I like the sounds. I like the rides, although I don't ride them, I kind of have a rule about getting on any ride that can be put together with a socket set. I just don't feel comfortable doing that. But I love the food, I love all that, but I gotta tell you, the thing I love the most about the fair are those merchant vendor booths, right? Come on. They're like live infomercials that you can touch. I love them. I do. I love spending time. I love walking around. And you know, there's always the pitch. If you've walked through any of these merchant booths, there's always the pitch. They say it a different way, but here's the thing they say. This is going to change your life, right? Oh, of course it's going to change your life. I want to go see what it is. I mean, I don't even need it, but if it's going to change my life, I want to see what it is. And then the other part of it is, and this is universal, it's going to change my life. That's their side. And my side is I have to take a step. Because some of them I just ignore. You know, I don't need another mortgage. I'm good on windows. I'm not into Mary Kay, but that's your thing. Good. But I will, there are some things. In fact, let me show you. So I went to the Washington State Fair last year. And I happened to bring home some treats. Okay. Now, the first thing is, when they said, this is going to change your life, I had no idea it was going to change my life. So I bought this vacuum cleaner, right? Now you're going, oh, come on, it's a vacuum cleaner. No, it's not just every vacuum cleaner. It's got all these little parts and pieces. Look, right? Come on. And I mean, this thing right here, it does all, I mean, there's pieces, there's parts. This thing right here, look at that, right? I mean, but here's the thing that did it for me. I clean cars and they've stuck a funnel on this and they picked up a bowling ball. I know, right? Now, oddly enough, I've never found a bowling ball inside a car, but if I do, I got it. Second thing was this little box right here. Now, I know for some of you, I'm gonna completely distract you. You are gonna wanna buy this and find out where I got this by the time. So just bear with me. Now this is just like one of these little box things here. Hold on. Okay. All right. So check this out. Come on! Isn't that awesome? So, battery operated, rechargeable, no Bluetooth, any device that makes sound. And here's the real reason that I got it. My mom and dad are somewhat technology challenged. And by technology challenged is usually something where it doesn't work, it's operator error, she says stupid things and throws it away, right? So all you have to do is just place the device on here, the vibration picks it up and it makes sound. It's fantastic, okay? That was the second thing I bought. But then sometimes you buy stuff and it doesn't work. If you ever see anyone that advertises the last charging cable you're ever gonna need in your life, it's not true. Bought these cables, my kids are like, Dad, we gotta have them, last one ever. Here's the website. I've not been able to trade this thing into the company that has the lifetime warranty. I have no idea where they are. I don't know if they're even in America anymore, but it doesn't work. Now, sometimes, when it says it's gonna change your life, it really does. Sometimes it doesn't, but here's the thing. It all starts with that one small step. And I've learned in life, whether it's going to the fair or whether it's just living life, this one thing is true. The biggest changes in life often begin with a small step. In fact, that's our central point this morning. The biggest changes in life often begin with one small step. But this morning, we're gonna talk about life groups. We're gonna talk about the impact of life groups and how they can have on your life. And in your program, you guys should have one of those life group sheets, those sign-up sheets. I want everyone just to take it out right now. Don't worry, there's not a hard sell. I just want you to know where it is, because at the end, when we're done this morning, it's going to matter. Now, I will tell you that for me personally, one who is in a life group, it really has changed my life. It really is something that has just had this tremendous impact on me. But what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about the why and the how. I want to talk about the why and the how, because I really do believe that if you join a life group, it will change your life. But I also equally believe that until you take that first step, it's not going to do much good for you. So here's what I want you to do. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And believe it or not, when we're done this morning, you will probably have this verse memorized. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It's in the New Testament, past the Gospels, almost to the end near Revelation. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Here's the verse. I'm going to read it out loud, and then we're going to parse it out. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Now, watch how we break this down. And let us consider. Now, that word consider, it means to give careful thought or consideration. This is not an impulse buy. Look, it holds up a bowling ball. This is not what we're talking about. Let us consider. Let us give careful thought. Let us give consideration. So it's a call for you and I to really think this through. Let us consider how to stir up one another. Now, this is a very interesting phrase, stir up. Because what it means is it's the act of stirring up emotions or feelings or responses, either positive or negative. But it's this, okay, let us consider, let us think about, let us really, in our mind, walk through how to evoke emotion or responses, how to do something. Now, and I want to give you an example. Watch this. Little concern the puppy got a little more off. This is the year they beat you in the Super Bowl. I'm just letting you know. There's the emotion. There it is. There it is. Now, look at this one. Exactly. This is the real sign. It's at the Kitsap County. I did not superimpose this. Anytime those two words are together, that's funny, okay? This is a real sign. Don't send me any angry emails. I didn't do this on my own, okay? All right, look at this one. This one. And finally, this one. I think that should get a little more cheer than winning the Super Bowl. I'm just saying. Okay. Go back to the verse. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. That word love is agape. It's the godly love. There's a form of that word in John 3:16, for God so agapao, which is the sacrificial, this giving love. So when the verse is talking about, let us consider how to stir up one another to love, this sacrificial love for one another. This idea of sacrificing and caring about other people. This word love, coincidentally, is mentioned 114 times in the New Testament. 114 times. Love your neighbor. Love each other. how God loves us. Scooter, how to strip one of two, love and good works. This phrase, good works, it means duty. It means that you are obliged to do, perform moral goodness towards someone else. It's a duty that we have. So when we look at this verse, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. How to stir up one another to love and good works. Friends, that's the call of the church. As you walk into our lobby, you'll see it in a different way. You'll see it on our lobby wall. It's our mission, helping people meet, know, and follow Jesus. It's this idea of considering how to stir up one another to love and good works. It's what you and I are called to do. Now, you may be sitting here going, well, how in the world am I gonna do that sitting here on a Sunday morning? I'm glad you asked. Because as we talk about life groups and we talk about the why, this is the why of life groups. This is why we do life groups. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. I want to take just a few minutes and I want to talk about the how. So if you join a life group, there's three things that you are guaranteed will happen. Three things that you are guaranteed you will receive in a life group. The first is this, movement towards each other. Movement towards each other. That word movement, that to consider how to stir up one another. Movement towards each other. See, you and I were made for relationship. Write this down in your notes. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. You don't need to turn there, but I encourage you to read it later. The whole passage there talks about relationships. Two are better than one, for they have a good return for their labor. This idea that you and I are to walk in this human relationship day in and day out. God made us for this kind of relationship and made us for this kind of relationship as well. See, in life groups, you get out of rows and you get into circles. It's really hard if you're sitting, you know, two or three rows either way, it's very difficult for you to understand what's going on in the life of the person that's maybe two or three rows behind you because your back is turned to them. That's just the way that we designed Sunday morning. But that's the idea of getting out of Sunday morning and moving into a smaller group. It's getting out of rows and into circles. I mean, honestly, how well can you know someone in a 30-second meet and greet? I mean, it's necessary. We do it. We want this place to be friendly, certainly. But friends, if you're coming to church, any church, and your social relationship, yeah, I'm friends with Christians, is pared down into a, good morning, my favorite ice cream is chocolate, have a nice day, and then you sit down and you go on to something else. I think you're missing the concept of what it means to have relationships with each other. And Sunday morning isn't designed for that kind of relationship. So this isn't a knock on church on Sunday morning. It's a both and. But you will receive this movement towards each other. Now, I want to tell you that as a person that's in a life group, I want to explain to you what that means. Our life group has been together for 3 or 4 years. And when I talk about the people that are in my life group, they're not just people. They're not just faces. These are lives that I get the privilege of being around. Let me give you some examples. Dave and Sherry, they're an older couple. Dave doesn't talk that much, but when he does, he's the kind of guy that you really want to listen to what he has to say. Sherry's one of the most encouraging people I've ever met in my life. She struggles with physical pain, and yet she always has a smile on her face. She cares. She truly cares about people. Bob and Linda are also in our life group. They also are a few more miles down the road than I am, but they have tremendous wisdom in their life. Bob is hilarious. He's soft-spoken, but he is one funny dude. And Linda, she's so sweet. She's so kind. Do you know she makes these custom cards and gives them to people? She's incredibly talented and caring. Ken and Christina, they're a little behind me. They're a little younger than I am. Ken is also one of the funniest people I know. He's really funny and he's cool. He's kind of that guy you just want to be around and go, yeah, he's a cool dude. He rides motorcycles and he's got a Harley and it's really loud and it's cool. And you know, it's just, he's a cool dude. Give you the shirt off of his back. I believe that with all my heart. His wife, Christina, she's kind. She's a kind person. She really wants to know what's going on in your life. She's a wonderful, wonderful human being. Chris and Karen, amazing people. I get to serve a lot with Chris and Karen in different ways in the church. Karen is this, just full of energy, I swear. Y'all think I have a lot of energy. I take lessons from Karen. She just has this boundless energy. She cares about people. She's got a lot going on in her personal life. She takes care of her mom. And yet, she's always willing to serve, always willing to serve. Her husband, Chris, serves a lot in the church, plays in the band, he serves on our elder board. He's also my movie buddy, because I think everyone in life needs a movie buddy. And we like the same movies, sometimes we don't. Chris knows more about animated movies than I think I'll need to know in a lifetime, which is good because I can just ask him questions. But he's a servant. Robin and Debbie. Robin and Debbie, when I first came to this church, we lived with them. They took me in. There was like a 2-week trial period, almost like a puppy. And it worked out. I was paper trained. And then my family moved out from California and we lived with them. And we have grown into this deep, loving relationship to the point. My kids call them Grandma and Grandpa. That doesn't happen here. And it's okay, right? I mean, I'm not knocking something. It doesn't happen here. But it happens in a life group. Talk to someone in a life group that's been in a life group for a while, and the word that you will hear used over and over and over again is family. My closest family is 800 miles south and 3,000 miles east. But in reality, my closest family is a phone call away because I know that anyone in my life group would drop what they were doing if I really needed help, and they know I do the same for them. See, in life groups, it's movement towards each other. The second thing that you're gonna get in a life group is movement towards God. Movement towards God. One of my favorite Bible verses is John 10:10. Jesus says, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you may have life and life abundantly. You've heard me talk about this before. Life, that word life, it's Zoe, it's salvation. It's this initial contact with Jesus where you accept this free gift of salvation. But what I love is that it doesn't stop there. I've come that you may have life. And then Jesus goes on to say, no, not just salvation, this abundant life in me. That you can have this amazing relationship with God right here, right now on earth. You grow closer to God. Movement towards God. See, our relationship with God is not this one-time thing. It's active. It's ongoing. And I got to tell you, on Sunday morning, it is part of it. But friends, if your idea of growing your relationship with God is coming to church and listening to a 40-minute sermon and then going out the other, you know, 6.5 days in your regular life and then coming back and like plugging your battery into a wall, I don't think you quite understand the concept of abundant life. I mean, it's not just life groups. It's not like, oh, you can only grow in a relationship in a life group, but it helps. It helps a lot. One of the things that we do in our life groups, most of the life groups, is we take the sermon on Sunday morning and we go through these questions. And they're not like super scholarly where you got to pull out your Greek and your Hebrew and all that. It's more about life. How does this apply to your life? How does it move you forward? And what's great is that I can hear something and go, oh, well, this is what I got out of it. And my friend will go, no, well, this is what I got out of it. Because he views the world differently than I do. And it's cool. It's cool. I mean, the Bible's really cool that way because you and I can read the same verses and we can get something completely different out of it. And we're both right, which is also helpful in a life group. But we get something out of it and we grow and we move. I want to take a second and challenge you with something. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have any spiritual goals right now? Now, we know that Barry's on a sabbatical and Barry's going to come back. He's going to come back in a few months, you know, cleansing breath, right? He's going to come back. But between now, September 10th, and when Barry comes back the first Sunday in December, when he's here, do you have any spiritual goals between now and then? How do you want to move closer to God between now and then? Maybe you've never thought about that before. Maybe you want to memorize a scripture passage. Maybe you're like, you know, I don't pray as much, so when I go to work, I'm going to shut the radio off on Mondays, because it's Monday, and I'm just going to pray on my way into work. But take a step. Do something. Now, the benefit of being in a life group is that you got other people around that you can go, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. And I'm not always going to succeed, but I want to fail forward. And your life group will be there to encourage you, to help you grow, to help you move forward. See, because if you join a life group, it gives you opportunity and it gives you accountability. The third thing is this: movement towards your community. Movement towards your community. Now, there's two ways that this works. The first is that as I grow in my relationship with God, the people that are around me are going to see a change in my life. Maybe I used to just, you know, cuss a blue streak. And my goal is that, all right, I say 20 cuss words a week, I want to say 10. Eventually, I want to get to zero. But can I just say that 10 is less than 20? Yay you, right? We're moving forward. And the people around you that don't go to church, that don't know Jesus, that just know that maybe you go to church, they're going to see a change in your life because of all the things that you are applying because of this abundant life that God is calling us to. See, that's how it works. So movement towards your community works that way. But another way that movement towards community plays itself out is that in a life group, you're going to be challenged to serve as a life group in the community, both outside these walls and inside these walls, to do something. You've got life groups that go out in the community and help feed the homeless, or they'll work at a shelter, or you know, maybe they're going to decide at Christmas time they're going to wrap Christmas presents for military families. Or it could be as simple as going to Walmart during the holiday season and standing out there with umbrellas and walking people to the car. Because that's remember we talked about the love? Consider each other how to stimulate one another to love and good works. That's the part where the love and good works, this is the sacrificing love. This duty to do something with my faith, with what God has done for me. Movement towards your community. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40. When he says, you know, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was naked, and you did all this stuff for me. And they're like, well, we've been around you a lot, Jesus. We've never seen you hungry or thirsty or naked. What are you talking about? Jesus says, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. When you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. Now, can you do that on your own? Sure, absolutely. And I know many of you do. But I'll tell you, there sure is something fun about doing it together. There's something fun about getting a group of your brothers and sisters together and go, come on, we're going to go do this. We're going to go help someone else for the sheer joy of just showing them God's love. I'm telling you, it's a really, really cool thing. So, there you have it. It's not this big, long thing where we're going to stay here until everyone in the room signs up for a life group. It doesn't work that way. Because sometimes you don't need a vacuum cleaner. But sometimes you do. And my sense is that there's many of you in here today that you need to be in a life group. You need to be connected somewhere. You need to experience relationship. You need to experience movement going forward in your relationship with God. You might be stuck and you're just like, you know, I think this will help me. You want to do something in your community. You want to engage in your community. You might even have ideas that we don't even know about that your life group could do. I want to encourage you. Sign up. But more than that, I want you to understand that I get how scary this is, this idea of being in a life group. You're like, well, sure, Kevin, you know, you're in a life group. Your life group's been together. You talk about family, tears rolling down your cheeks, but I'm out here. I don't know anybody. This is scary. Well, I want you to know that I stand here today as not someone saying, do as I say, not as I do. My wife and I have been praying about this, really excited about this, but I'm also a little scared about this. New people. See, our life group meets every other week, and on the off week, what we're gonna do is we've paired up with some friends of ours, Bob and Janet, and the four of us, we're gonna do a life group here at the church on Wednesday nights. This life group is geared specifically towards people that are brand new to Jesus, like within a year or less. You've just said yes to Jesus. The Bible's kind of complicated. You don't really, you know, you don't really understand how it all works. You're just glad that Jesus saved you. We're gonna go through the same questions like everyone else, but ours is gonna be a little different. But it's geared specifically towards people that are brand new in their relationship with God, or those of you that are still on the journey. You're not sure if you're into this whole Jesus thing. Awesome, join our life group. We'd love to have you. And we're not gonna, you know, lay hands on you every week until you come to Jesus, right? We're not gonna work like it'll work that way, all right? Respect your journey. It's between you and God. I certainly am not the Holy Spirit. But we wanna find a place for you because we recognize that you going into a life group with other believers that are, you know, been Christians forever could be a little intimidating. And so our life group is Wednesdays. It's gonna be over there. You can sign up for that immediately. But I want you to understand, for those of you that are brand new, never been in a life group, you don't know, you know, what about these people? I'm right there with you. I'm stepping in the water with you. So I'm asking you, for those of you that are scared, come with me. We'll do it together. You join your life group, I'll join my life group. Maybe our life groups will cross paths. As I was thinking about being here today, I know that there's some of you, I would be thinking this, yeah, of course you're saying all the stuff about life groups. It's your job title. I mean, you're the community life pastor. What are you gonna say? I hate life groups? I mean, come on, right? Don't do it, right? I mean, come on. So what I did is I gathered some of my friends. We sat them in front of a video camera. And we asked them to tell you what life groups mean to them. Watch the screens.
Hi, I'm Sean.
And I'm Jolie.
Hi, my name is Mark.
Hi, my name is Adele.
Hi, my name is Joel.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth.
Hi, I'm Dan.
I'm Julie.
I'm Joey.
I'm Michelle.
And I'm Brian.
And we're in a life group.
How has being in a life group impacted you?
Gives us people to do life with, actual life.
You need to have personal relationships. This church is huge. You might say to somebody, hey, how long have you been going here? A year and a half, and it's the first time you've met them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've been able to meet people, become part of their lives, and they've become part of our lives.
When we first started coming to Grace Point, it was such a big church, and we know that from experience, you know, the first thing you need to do is get plugged in somewhere. And we heard about life groups, and so we signed up.
We have small kids, and it's like really beneficial to have other friends with small kids and hear all the same struggles and things that they're going with and get support from them and support them as well.
It's given us a chance to really connect with people, which is good when we haven't been in the area long.
For me, I feel like it's been, when I think about matters of the heart, I think about our life group. I think about, there's people that I'll call when things aren't going well, and it's my life group. It's from my life group family.
Your relationship with God, how is it different now than when you first started in a life group?
Wow, I honestly, I pray a lot more. I'll catch myself. I have to drive to Beaverton a lot, and I'll be praying on the road for my life group and for my people and everything. Before, I didn't really pray a lot, you know. So I think I've gotten a lot closer to God personally.
A lot of times, I take something away from a certain message or sermon, and having the life group, they hear something else that completely resonated with them in a different way, and I learn a different practical way that I can maybe connect or understand something on a different level.
Being part of people's lives, like intimately part of their lives, has actually caused us to have to work on our walk with God.
What would you say to the person watching this right now that's on the fence about joining a life group?
I say give it a shot. You'd be surprised how close you're going to grow with these people who you may never have come in contact with otherwise suddenly become family.
I find that every time I meet somebody new here at the church is I think I'll have nothing in common with them, but I wind up having something in common with them that we can talk about and share.
Yeah, we really didn't know if we wanted to do it. It was kind of a God thing, and we've been blessed by doing it. We're meeting great people. When we come to church, we know people, and it just makes everything feel so much more personal.
Yeah, you might be very surprised at who God puts you together with. It's really, you walk into a room, you don't know any, we knew no one, you know, and now they are family.
I would say you should join a life group because there's a bunch of people out there who want to have a relationships with you, and it's awesome to have that support, to have friends that you can call on to help you, and also just to have fun together, enjoy life. It's so much better doing it together with people than it is alone.
It's awesome. It's really easy to look at other people and think they've got it all together, and I don't have it all together, and I'm not worthy, and then you meet these people and realize, you know what? None of us have it all together, but we're all willing to go through it together and to pray for each other and support each other. It's great.
Yeah. See, that wasn't
painful.
I'm now breaking out in sweat.
Here I am on camera.
We're at least not on stage, right?
I got nothing.
Done. You did it. Good job.
Yay.
Well done.
Yes, these are not paid actors. These are real live people that were scared to death to be in front of a camera. I want you to take those pieces of paper I talked about earlier. I just want you to hold them in your hand just for a second. Those life group sign-up papers that are in your program. We started our time together by saying the biggest changes in life often begin with one small step. In just a minute, you're going to have an opportunity to take that small step. No one's going to make you. No one's going to force you. We're not going to stand at the doors and ask you if you're in a life group. My concern is that some of you that are sitting in here today really need to be in a life group, and you're going to let the fear of whatever prevent you from moving forward and seeing what God wants to do in your life. And more than that, there's other people that are in this church that need you to be in a life group. Because see, sometimes it's not about us at all. We may have our friend quotient filled. There might be other people in this church that God wants us to be around to be a blessing to them. Because I know it sounds crazy, but it's not all about us. I know. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to give you some instructions. And then after I give you some instructions, the band's going to start. And then we are going to be dismissed. Let me pray for you. God, thanks for today. Thanks for the opportunity to talk about how to stimulate one another, to stir up one another, to love and good works. I pray for my friends that are gathered here today. God, for some of them, their heart is pounding out of their chest right now. Ay, ay, ay. God, do what only you can do. I don't want anybody to feel pressure or anything like that. God, move in the hearts and lives of people as you see fit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.